Welcome to the beginning of the super terrific happy hour.
Super terrific
happy hour.
Happy hour.
A bunch of us are talking about happy hour.
Yes, welcome to episode 77 of Super Terrific Happy Hour. My name is Matt Neal. I'm the movie reviewer here at the Wonderful Standard. I forgot what I did for
yes,
a second.
Yes, you are.
And, Jono, what do you do here?
I do all kinds of things, but I'm a kind of a jack of all trades.
Yes, jack of all trades, masters of none. That's what we are.
That's it.
But we love our pop culture, as you probably know if you've heard our podcast before. But today we're going to be talking about political correctness in pop culture.
We sure are.
We're getting deep.
Yeah,
through the looking glass here, people. What is this apropos of, Jono?
People are very sensitive these days.
Oh, they are so sensitive.
There will be a backlash to the sensitivity, and there probably already is. But I feel like it's 2016 now, but 2015 was the year of everyone being offended by everything.
Okay. We didn't mention that in our end of year wrap-up, but you could be wrong.
Do you think that's fair? The movement is there, the political correctness movement.
But the whole thing of political correctness is being seen as, I guess, as a negative, has been kicking around for at least 10 years.
But it's accelerating. Definitely.
It's definitely growing, yeah, absolutely.
Especially with the growth of social media.
Yes.
We have this, the thing that's probably inspired this was the latest season of South Park, which from all the accounts I've heard, people are just all over it as being one of the best seasons ever.
Which is pretty impressive considering that's just season 18 or 19 or something.
Yes. And one of the reasons is that it's done a really good job of having a running story arc through the whole thing, where a new principal comes into town, PC principal, who's your typical college bro, but he's got like a whole frat of people that follow him around who are PC.
Yeah.
And their job is to stamp out anything that's not politically correct.
Yeah. They're uber PC.
Yeah. Have you seen any of these episodes?
Yeah, I watched a couple of episodes. The ones mostly that were centered around Caitlyn Jenner were actually the couple I caught.
Like, you have to admire her and you have to, like,
she's a hero!
Yeah, you have to regard her as a hero or you're, like, the devil.
Yeah.
I guess.
And South Park did play it very well by pointing out the fact that she killed someone in a hit and run accident, or
so every time she's a reoccurring character, and every time you see her, she's running over someone.
Yeah,
pretty much. But it's not just that; they've talked about Donald Trump and how they've parodied his views, like, because he's risen to a level of, you know, political relevance that no one could have foreseen, despite having these unpolitically correct views. And that's almost a backlash to the political correctness. That people are like, someone speaking their mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't care what people think. Like, it's almost refreshing.
The funny thing is that in 1999, Trump was going to run for president and basically got laughed down, and it didn't happen. And now, and this is a good example of what you're saying about the rise of PC, like, to crazy levels, that this backlash, now he is seen as a serious contender to probably not for the presidency, I wouldn't think, hopefully, but to be the Republican candidate, which is just crazy and unfathomable. And as a direct response to probably the PC nature of things now, I guess.
So the real life application for these stories on South Park is the Social Justice Warrior Movement, or SJWs.
Right, okay.
As you may
is that what that stands for?
Yes.
You asked me at the start and I said Super Jesus Watch. But
So, I don't know if you know about, like, the college scene in the States is apparently really influenced by this movement of people kind of lobbying for social justice in kind of over-the-top ways. So, we've got things like free, like, I can't remember exactly what the terminology is called, but it's basically a space, like, you know how you have the library and it's a quiet space? You have spaces in the university campus that, you know, free speech isn't necessarily encouraged. It's a safe space for people to not have to put up with any, you know, of these politically correct things that can be offensive.
So, wait a minute, hang on. I'm losing which side we're talking about here. So, What so what aren't you allowed to do in these spaces?
Anything that could be offensive.
You can't do anything offensive in the space.
Yes. Well, right. That's what's encouraged.
Okay.
Yeah. And we've also got trigger warnings. Have you read much about trigger warnings?
No,
this
that
year?
Sounds familiar. But go on.
So trigger warnings are essentially a heads up that, you know, this could be, you know, offensive, or this could be, you know.
Well, they're often used when there's stories about sexual assault or rape and or child abuse, and as it may trigger something for someone to remember.
Yeah. But I think they've started to do those in like university lectures, and they've started to they're doing them a lot more on news reports and that kind of thing. Okay. And there's been a bit of a backlash of, you know, it's kind of that theory of you can't walk through life with padded cushions.
Mm.
If something's offensive or, you know, so if it's a catalyst for panic or whatever, then, you know, they have the chance to look away. Like if you're sitting in a movie and there's something you don't like, you can close your eyes, you can walk out.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, do you think people need to be warned of these things suddenly? Well, depends. It's never been a thing.
Depends what it is. Well, yeah, but just because something's never been a thing doesn't mean it shouldn't be a thing. That maybe awareness has risen to the point where we need to be aware of these things.
But do we need to be stopping every 5 seconds to point out that, you know, watching the news, you're going to see some stuff that's...
Well, the graphic footage warnings have been around for a long, long time. It's like, what we're going to show you features some graphic footage. Yeah.
But that's kind of a universal look away thing. Now. Everyone can be disturbed by disturbing footage, not just people who've experienced something.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Yes, okay.
So there's this whole thing of people giving up free speech so that they don't offend anyone in the campus spaces.
Yes. Now, the thing about free speech, though, free speech has limitations. Like
here it does.
Well, are there not laws in America about incitement of hatred? You know, if you're spouting...
How does the KKK still exist then?
Well, does it?
Yeah.
Right.
It does.
Okay.
And well, there's Nazis. Like, it's legal to be a Nazi.
In America?
Yeah. Is it not?
I don't know. but I'm sure there's some laws...
Like you're allowed to hold those views and express them.
Okay, but I bet you can't if you're inciting terrorist attack.
No, that's an act of violence, I suppose.
Well, okay. How's that different to saying you should go out and like hang all black people?
But that's not what the KKK do anymore.
Oh, did they stop doing that?
Yeah.
Wow, they finally jazzed it up a bit. What does the KKK do now?
Well, I guess it's more political.
What, saying that whites haven't had a fair go for long enough?
Oh, that's, yeah, I guess so. I'm not saying that they have a point. But
yeah,
I remember on John Safran versus God, he meets with them and asks if, you know, because he's only half Jewish, whether they would let him join, in theory.
Right, okay.
And, you know, they are secretive and they, you know, they don't walk around with their logo on the side of a car or anything.
No, okay.
But they do exist and they probably are trying to pull strings in different areas, you know.
Yeah, okay. So, in summary, so far...
Mm-hmm.
Do we think that that there's this sort of knee jerk
we're probably
reaction
getting,
to thing to offense now. People can't either take a joke or there's too much.
Well,
care being taken.
One of Ricky Gervais's things that he's been saying for years is no one has the right to not be offended, and that's kind of been his thing. As much as I don't agree with some of the stuff that he does, he's still. Has the right to make those jokes.
Well, another one of his, I think it's his lines, is that offence is taken, never given.
Mm.
So the onus is on the person who takes it to deal with it themselves, really.
Yeah.
But again, you know, there's limits. I mean, you can't, well, I don't know. There's, one of my favourite comedians is Jimmy Carr, who actually...
He's a weird-looking kind of guy.
He's a I guess you could say he's a weird looking guy. He's a TV host. He hosts a couple of shows.
Yeah,
like 9 out of 10 Cats, I think, is one of his shows in the UK.
He's pretty weird.
Yeah. But he...
That's not offensive, is it?
I don't know. Well, this is the thing. But he actually does a bit in his stand-up where he will deliberately tests people's limits. Mm. So he tries to tell the most offensive jokes he can and slowly escalates the level of offense
to test the room.
To see how far he can put you, or how far people can take it. So you know, people go to those shows knowing that he's going to tell some off color humor.
Yeah,
and
it's a social experiment.
Yeah, and I guess, and to see, you know, everyone has a limit. Like, you know, there's offense. I'm not easily offended, I don't think, but you know, I'd have a limit somewhere probably that where they go, well, that's just not funny, or that's just wrong.
Yeah.
But you know, it's interesting to see where that line is, and just because that crosses my line, I'm not going to call up a TV station or ring my member of parliament or whatever and say they should be taken off air or whatever.
Which is what's happened with the Zoolander 2 trailer.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things that also inspired this podcast.
Yeah. So I've got that on my list. So in the trailer, there's a character, a transgender model played by Benedict Cumberbatch called All, I believe is the character's name. Mm-hmm. And
their very existence in this movie.
Well, yeah, it seems like the very presence of a transgender model character has caused outrage because I'm not even sure why.
The theory is that it's, promoting negative or, unfair stereotypes, which is what comedies do.
Well, they do, but who's to say that's a negative stereotype? And it's not just to say, well, what? So transgender people can't be models, or
the whole movie is
poking fun at models.
See, so I don't even know if it's about the way that Benedict Cumberbatch portrayed it. I think it's more of the jokes that they were making. Like they're saying, what do you have in your pants? Essentially, like, are you a guy or a girl? Like they're making these kind of comments. And that's offensive,
Well, if you went out in the street and did that to a transgender person, they would probably be offended. They would be affronted by it. And it's probably no one else's business, really.
But
I think the joke of this is on on Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson's characters, that they're so clueless, they don't know how to deal with any kind of situation, so they make weird, outlandish statements. Like, is that...
And even the way that the male models are portrayed, you could just as easily see male models complaining that it's stereotyping them.
Yeah, because they're portrayed as stupid and, inept. Yeah. Like, that's...
And, you don't see the Hunting Association, complaining about Elmer Fudd. So I just think satire and comedy, by their nature, are allowed to get away with these kinds of things.
Yeah, they're there to poke fun at things.
But that's the time we live in,
Yeah.
And I think it is part of this movement where the movie hasn't even come out and people are...
Well, people are calling for a boycott of it.
Yeah.
And
it's like back in the 90s, there was a Seinfeld episode called the Puerto Rican Day Parade or something like that. And Puerto Ricans were protesting outside NBC before it had aired. And I remember Jerry Seinfeld making a comment about, well, have you seen it? And they said, well, no, but we're sure it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, there's this the assumption that it's good. And they kind of did get in trouble for it.
Okay.
There was a whole, burning the flag kind of thing. But, yeah.
But it was satire, though, wasn't it?
Like, yeah. It was like the flag got lit on fire. Kramer was stamping it out. And everyone goes, hey, he's burning the flag. And they attacked him. So... it's in context. It's not like, hey, let's be disrespectful and burn a flag.
No, yeah.
It's comedy, again. And that's one of the things, like, the shows that play it safe are becoming probably more popular, and then you get ones that take some chances and do things that could be offensive, and they're really the ones that stand out to me, anyway.
It's, context is a big thing. Mm. I want to talk about the N-word a little bit.
Mm.
Because... there was a big kerfuffle around Django Unchained because the word either Negro or nigger or some variation of it was just absolutely littered through the film. And people, there was a small section of people who were outraged that that was being used,
Who?
Well, some PC warriors and also some black people who felt it was, I don't know.
Samuel L. Jackson.
But we'll go further into that in a minute. But the fact that anyone was outraged about a movie that was set in that time, when that word was used, that just seemed utterly ridiculous to me. But I mean, this is a criticism that gets leveled at Tarantino a lot.
Well, he's doesn't matter when his movies are set. That word's coming up.
It is, and but that's, Spike Lee has a real problem with it. You know, and this whole thing of like this is something I find really odd, and I don't know where I stand on this, but the ownership of a word is a really weird concept to me, I find.
Yeah, it is fairly unique.
Like, you know, that the N-word was a racial slur, and still is, but has been reclaimed by black people. So now only black people can use that word. It's an interesting set of circumstances, but I find it really odd that you can own that a particular group of people can own a word.
It is interesting. I kind of like that that's how it is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not begrudging them that at all, but I feel
like
that.
I feel it's like, hey, we've got this word that I guess is a cool word because they like to use it still in the way that they use it.
Yeah.
And you're not allowed to use it because you used it so wrongly for so many years.
Yeah, I guess so. It's penalizing them. Yeah. We're sort of seeing the same thing with queer a little bit. Like, well, that's been kind of reclaimed by gay people somewhat.
So if I say queer, I mean, I'm bad.
Well, if you go, oh, yeah, that guy's he's queer, like, it's probably considered bad, but they're allowed... Right.
Is that going to happen with? Is that going to happen with other gay slurs?
Well, okay, like, I don't know. But see, this is a well. I have heard gay people say use the word "poof" in a ownership kind of way, but if anyone else said it, it would be considered a slur. So it's the Negro thing again, but you know, and it's so. But that's the, and this is what I mean. I don't personally have a problem with black people owning that word and going, you know what, you've used it badly, you can't use it anymore. Right, that's fine. But it opens the floodgates of, well, not open the floodgates, but it sets a precedent for certain groups of people only being able to use certain words.
I'm glad you brought this up because Obama, on a podcast with Mark Maron, said this N-word.
Which we're kind of, I've said it already during this, so I don't know why we're
saying N-word. Because I don't like saying it.
Okay.
I don't want to make it any form of habit or comfortability with it.
Okay, that's fine.
Comfort, sorry.
Yeah.
Obama said it and he even got criticized. And he was using it like quoting people, basically.
There was a context to it that made sense.
So even the president is not above rebuke.
A black president can't say nigger. So that's where there's a line there pretty somewhere. Much. I don't know. It's odd, but yeah.
And I mean, like, there's other examples that I want to use. Of PC warriors.
Okay, just one more while we're talking about the N-word.
Yeah.
Is, you can get away with saying a lot of stuff. If a character is portrayed as being ignorant or bad or whatever, they can basically say whatever.
Yeah. Which is Tarantino's characters.
Well, yeah, that's their out. So any, for any movies and stuff, but yet, so, which is... Why I find a lot of this outrage about things like that, if it's in a movie or TV, it's just completely
It's like, oh, this movie can't have someone who's ignorant in it, is pretty much what we're getting to.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have a character who's potentially offensive then.
Yeah.
Like, which is, but going back to the Zoolander thing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, the argument is that, yeah, you can't have people say anything wrong because that doesn't happen.
Well, do you remember the? Do you remember? Well, I can't remember which Judd Apatow movie it was, but it was like, do you know how I know you're gay? You like Coldplay, and then they had that kind of back and forth. Was that what the joke was?
I can't remember. I don't know.
I think that's what it was. It was something like that.
Mm.
But you wouldn't. I don't feel like you'd be able to get away with it these days. Even though, like, those characters these days, you could say that, you know, they're just ignorant or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I feel like now it would be like if that part of the movie was in a trailer, there'd be huge outrage.
Yeah. I think the issue is, I don't think that there should be an issue with characters being able to do that, to say whatever, voice opinions, so you have a diversity of characters, blah, blah, blah. But it's if a film or a movie is going to celebrate some kind of, like, celebrate a hatred, you know, like, that, I don't know.
It's a thin line, I guess. It's like, are these guys promoting it? Like, are they saying it's funny to make fun of these people?
Yeah, or? That's, it's like, how... I remember, I don't know, I feel like this has died out a little bit, but using the word gay in a derogatory sense, which
that's gay.
Which, that really kind of crawls my skin a little bit, and I wouldn't ever use that term, but I know a lot of people who do, and when I hear it still, it kind of...
I haven't heard that for a long time.
But yeah, it feels like it's died out, yeah. But it was almost like, for a little while there had to be an awareness campaign of sorts, like to...
Actually, you know, yeah, the NBA did like a ad, where it was like people were playing street ball,
yeah.
And then it's like, I can't remember if it was that or fag or something,
but they're
like,
yeah.
That ain't cool, like they did this whole, like, they had the NBA players saying like, you know, yeah. Keep the trash talk clean, or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. So yeah, there have been campaigns, is my point. But we have the same thing happening with terms like retard.
Yeah.
Where that's definitely not politically correct anymore.
No.
And that's one that I find offensive, but like you say it sometimes.
I do. I do. That's and bad.
It's bad now, but you call me on that.
I'm calling you out, but it's kind of unique because it's a word that actually has a meaning.
Well, yeah.
It's kind of grabbed a negative meaning over a long period of time.
Yeah, it's a bit like, this one that we don't use anymore is spastic. But yeah. Because there used to actually be the Spastic Society.
Yes, in Warrnambool. My mum used to work there.
Well, yeah, but it was a national
organization. And it's really, it's a word that means something that is like, it's got like elasticity or something.
Is that what it means?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
Because it's
like a scientific term.
Retarded.
Well, retard just meant something that wasn't functioning. It was slower than it was meant to be.
Well, you know, a plant's growth can be retarded by things. You know, like
on a fire, you use a retardant to put it out.
Yeah. So something's holding something back. Yeah. Like, yeah.
But yeah, obviously,
I don't know that I'm always using it in that.
Yes, I'm just saying it doesn't necessarily mean that at all anymore. And even if it does, I remember there's politicians who've used the word niggardly, like niggardly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've had to stop using that word because it sounds so bad.
Too close, but it doesn't mean anything to do with that, does it?
Well, no, it's a word that has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you just can't talk like that.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, we're probably getting off track. We're meant to be talking about pop culture.
Yeah.
And going back, the college scene is a major part where this is becoming over the top, and Jerry Seinfeld, who I mentioned before, has even said he doesn't perform at colleges anymore, and a lot of comedians don't because the crowds are so sensitive.
Wow.
And we listened to that joke before about the gay French king scrolling through his contacts on his phone.
Yeah, so what was that? Was Seinfeld was on, it looked like one of those late show things, and he made a reference to a gay French king.
Yes. And it's one of his bits that he does.
Yeah.
And I think I think it might have been on that talk show or another talk show where he talked about how you can read the room when you're doing comedy, and the sense after that joke was, what do you mean gay? Like, why are you saying that? And he's saying, like, is it wrong to, you know, refer to someone moving their hands flamboyantly as, like, a gay thing? Like, is that not allowed anymore? Like, you know, they do have a Mardi Gras every year where people dress up like this. It's not saying that's, you know...
That's
not defining these people.
No.
But it's not outrageous to make a reference to it, is it? What do you think?
I find a lot of it very... we've just during the course of this conversation, we've self-edited and, you know, been worried about using particular terms.
Mm.
And, you know, so everyone is doing it to some extent.
We're journalists, we're not comedians.
No, I know. Yeah.
Or politicians.
Yeah. But I know, that's the whole thing about this, is that it all exists in this weird grey zone of how much you offend people, really.
Do you think anyone will be offended by this podcast?
Well, you could potentially, because because during the conversation about the N-word, I actually said the N-word.
Yes.
That could potentially be, people could be offended about it. We've used the word retarded and spastic and...
Yes, we've used words
We've used words
that are in a dictionary, yes.
Yes, but that, again, could still be... I mean, it's all about context, but you could still... I'm sure there's something we have said in this podcast that could be seen as offensive to people.
Mm.
And that's the thing about it, is that anyone could find offense in just about anything.
Yeah.
So where, because it is such a grey zone, where do you stop? Where do you start? Like,
I don't have the answers.
No, I don't either. Can I throw a weird pop culture one at you?
I've got some more too, but okay. Yeah, go for it.
All right, we'll just go some back and forth here.
Okay.
And just to comment on, I mean, so there's a play that is a continuation of the Harry Potter universe that is being staged in London soon.
Fan fiction or
Written by J.K. Rowling. Okay.
Wow.
They have cast a black actress to play Hermione.
You are kidding me.
The outrage.
She's not black.
Now, see, this is a really odd one because there is outrage about it. And it's not.
And JK said, there's nothing in the book that says she's white. It's never mentioned.
No.
It says she has this color hair and she looks, you know, like this, but it doesn't say light colored skin or anything.
No.
So. This actually happened on an episode of Boston Legal. I have to point out there was a black there was a black Annie. She was like
that just predicted the movie that came out last year.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, there was a black Annie movie that came out.
I think it was a black Annie. Maybe it was a black Pippi Longstockings. I can't remember.
No, I think it was a black Annie. I think I remember the episode because
the mother was saying, you know, my daughter was the best person for the part, and she wasn't picked because she was black.
Yep.
And you know, and the. Casting people said, well, this character's white, and you know, that's the episode basically. So, yeah,
but then they actually did a black Annie movie.
Maybe someone was watching that and said, I like where they're going with this. Yeah.
Black Hermione, but I mean, that's now people are using that as a kind of anti-PC argument. They're saying, oh, they're only doing this because they want to be politically correct. You know, they're not necessarily casting the best actress for it.
Yeah.
They're doing it to either get attention or to be PC and go, well, you know, all roles can be all colours, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's just, I thought that was a weird kind of, the reaction to it is a weird kind of flip on.
Yeah. Something similar happened recently with Naughty Dog, which is a video game company that, it makes Uncharted, and the next Uncharted game has a black character being voiced by a white actress.
Right.
A few people saying, oh, you know, the job should go to a black person.
Hmm.
But apparently, you know, the directors have said that they came up with, they hired her before they decided what the person would look like.
Okay.
And that's when they decided, oh, let's make the character black.
Hmm.
And it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
People like to get upset.
They do. And the big thing about all this is that majority of it is not a big deal.
And a majority of people getting upset are doing it on behalf of other people.
Yes.
Like, you know, the White Knight thing.
Yeah.
Is it the White Knight?
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah, something like that. Yeah, you being a champion for that people, whether they want it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one for you. Washington Redskins.
Mm.
Are you across this issue?
Yeah, yeah. South Park did that too.
Yeah. Was that as part of the PC Principle series?
I think it might have been in the first episode. If it wasn't, it was last season.
Okay.
But yeah.
I think
they should change it.
Yeah. And as much as we're kind of criticizing like being ultra PC, this one seems kind of fair.
Yeah.
But why do we think this one's fair and other things are too over the top?
Because there are things that were okay at one time that aren't okay now.
Okay. So this is where it gets tricky. Okay, so why is Jerry Seinfeld's gay French king joke okay, but it's not okay for the Washington Redskins to be called the Washington Redskins? Just as two polar opposite things, but okay. One we can go, oh, we're okay with that, and one we can go, we're not.
Yeah. Well, I think when you're talking about race and offensive terms, that's different than...
But you know, gay people might find that his joke offensive.
But why?
Because it's portraying...
Is there something inaccurate about it?
Well, it's stereotyping gay people in a particular way.
So stereotypes are okay, most of the time.
Stereotypes are okay, right.
Especially in comedy. I'm not saying, you know...
I mean, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah.
And it's not a negative stereotype that to say gay people are flamboyant. Like, I don't necessarily think that's offensive or negative.
No.
Like, that's one of the things that some people love about...
Some gay people. Yeah. It's a thing that some gay people... Yeah, I mean, who's the guy on Entourage, Ari Gold's assistant?
Lloyd. Yeah.
Now, is the guy that plays him gay?
I don't know.
And does it matter that if he plays the character in that particular way,
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. It's like Modern Family, kind of like.
Well, yeah, see, that's a really good example, because they've got two, okay, they've got a gay couple character, and there's one character who you would say is the stereotype flamboyant gay, and then the other one
is a different kind of stereotype.
Is a different, yeah.
Yeah. He's the straight-laced kind of, like, I guess, stereotypically girly one.
Yeah.
Like, doesn't, not into sports, let's just put it, you know.
It's, yeah.
I'm not saying this. This
not is that just, there's anything wrong with that. Well. Is that to bring it back to Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. The whole thing's kind of fascinating. But go back to the Redskins thing. I mean, and I was just playing devil's advocate there. Sure. I think they should change
that. That's a term that I guess is like the N-word. It's like a negative slur against Native Americans. You can't even call them Indians. So
no, because they're not from India.
No.
That was just Columbus being an idiot.
Yeah.
Okay, have you got another one?
The slave costume. The Princess, slave Princess costume. Leia.
Oh!
Disney is...
Slave Leia. I thought we were getting back into Django territory for a second there. Okay.
Disney is discontinuing the Slave Leia costume from toys and, I guess, just costumes in general.
Yeah. They're kind of wiping it out of the merchandise.
They're saying, let's not promote this side of our film history.
Yes.
Now... Is it the slave side of it? Is it the racy?
I think it's side the sexualization bit that we shouldn't be pushing a sexualized character.
Is it because we're Disney?
Because we're a family company, we shouldn't be pushing sexualized characters to potentially children.
Yeah. So you don't think there's any element of PC about it? Because since this came up,
I guess it is trying to be politically correct in a sense, but it's also, but that's part of the ethos of Disney's brand, I guess.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's overthinking the situation a little bit.
Yeah. It's something where they can make a lot of money just by not doing anything, which they could do, and no one would criticize them for continuing to sell it or promote it or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, have they discontinued it in response to something, or have they preempted this?
I think they preempted it.
Yeah.
And there's been all kinds of comments about, you know, implications of her being a sex slave for Jabba, and that's,
you know, I don't know, even know if that biologically works, but
well, what was she doing there? Why? I don't even know if a Hutt would be attracted to a human. Like, how does that work?
No, it's more like I've never really thought about this, and I'm going to now, and I'm just going to do it off the top of my head. I think that it was part of Jabba's just whole party scene thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, he wanted to humiliate a princess by putting her in this outfit.
There's that, and also it's like...
And then she kills him.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
But, you know, there was also like a Twi'lek, which that's one of the tentacles out of their head. You know, she was kind of scantily clad as well.
Mm.
I think it's just part of like, oh, you know what's going on at Jabba's place? They've got like a band, they've got dancing girls, there's like a giant...
Rancor.
There's giant monster that eats like people... You know, it's just part of the package. It's just part of the Jabba party plan.
What's the little guy that looks like a gremlin?
The little it's Salacious Crumb.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
The jester.
Yeah, and the guards look like pigs. It's great. Go down there. Like, you know, I hear he captured a princess and totally humiliated her by making her wear this bikini thing.
Yeah.
It's just part of the Jabba thing. I don't think it's actually really that sexualized, but... I don't know.
People have turned it into
that
maybe on their own.
So what is, in The Little Mermaid, what's Ariel wearing on her top half?
A shell.
Shells.
A set of shells.
Yeah. A set of clams.
Why is it The Little Mermaid? Because she looks like a normal sized person.
Oh, I think that's the name of the original fairy tale.
Yeah, I know. But I just thought of that the other day.
It's a catchier title than The Mermaid, I think, isn't it?
I guess so.
The Little Mermaid.
It probably encourages children to... Watch, I could be a little mermaid.
Yeah.
That's what they're probably thinking.
Yeah, sure.
Don't,
because they're little. Yeah. But, you know, okay, so what's the difference between the mermaid wearing just clams on her boobs and Princess Leia?
There's none, but one's animated. If they made that into when they make that into a live action movie,
which I think they are.
Sure, I think we're going to see every classic Disney cartoon made live action.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
Yeah.
We've had Cinderella, that's the first tick. They'll definitely have to.
Jungle Book's on the way.
Yeah, Jungle Book is on the way.
Mm.
Is that... That's not a...
Two versions.
That's not a... I guess neither of them are Disney originally, but...
Well, it wasn't... I mean, well, it's a Rudyard Kipling story originally, isn't it?
I gotta see the trailer for Jungle Book. I wanna see what Jon Favreau's done with it.
lots of CG. Yeah. It's all CG, I think, actually. The parts where I couldn't tell if it was a real boy or not, but yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
We'll have to yeah, anyway, I think that if they make a live action one, they're going to have to do something with that costume. It'll be way too non-kid friendly.
Yes, probably, yeah. So you can get away with stuff in animation. Because Jessica Rabbit, as a kid, like, that just kind of blew my mind. Anyway. right, cool. Do we have any more of these bizarre...
There's so many.
...PC things that are causing outrage? Because it's an endless list.
Yeah, it is an endless list. Every second day on Twitter, there's people complaining about something. Like, even last night, like, this cricketer hitting on the reporter.
Yeah.
That was bad. She did a really good job handling it. Yeah. I think it's going to be the best thing that happened to her.
Probably.
Ultimately. Just
in a weird way. But, yeah. But the way she handled it, her professionalism shone through.
Exactly. Yeah. But I was surprised at how much it took over Twitter. Like, I know it was bad, but you know, it was just like, whoa, like, everyone has an opinion.
Mm.
Everyone is either offended or trying to act like it's not a big deal.
Mm.
My theory is that cricket's boring, and so they have to make a big deal out of anything.
Well, this came out of the most exciting form of cricket, which is 2020. So, you know, they have like explosions and dirt bikes.
And we had the kid eating the watermelon. That was a news story as well. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
It's like, kid eats watermelon.
I think part of this whole thing, okay, just to try and summarize the whole situation.
Let's wrap it up.
Okay. Given that we are so much in a 24-hour news cycle these days.
Yeah, I'm where still going.
It's not even about the 24 hours now. It's about the minute-by-minute news cycle. Mm-hmm. You know, it's broken down so much that Watermelon Kid is, you know, it's big for...
A day, two days.
Yeah, and it has a lingering effect for a little while. But, you know, and the whole Chris Gayle thing, massive for overnight, and a little bit of follow-up from the slower news outlets the following day. But, you know, within 24 hours, it's not even going to be a story, really.
That's true. I
think that trying to find... Because so much news is about people being outraged by things these days, that people dig and dig to find... Something to be outraged about just so they can keep the news cycle spinning. Yeah. I'm not saying it's totally the media's fault, but the media ramps it up more. That's why we hear about these things. You know, a couple of randoms on Twitter saying, you know,
that's super anything. Terrific. Happy Hour podcast should be banned.
Yeah, because they said nigger on their podcast. I'm seeing you cringe every time every I say time. It now. But this is my point.
Do you remember that interview?
There's a context.
Do you remember that interview with Samuel L. Jackson, when they were doing a junket tour for one of the Tarantino movies, probably Django, where the reporter said N-word, not the N-word. He said, he said the N-word.
Oh, okay.
And he talked about, I think he might have been asking Samuel L. Jackson about, you know, the controversy.
Yeah.
And Samuel L. Jackson made him so uncomfortable by asking him to actually say it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that would have been me. Like, he was, yeah.
See, that's
super awkward.
See, if
he... I believe that it should be allowed in that context.
Yeah.
But I just don't even want to risk it.
Yeah.
Because I know that someone is going to be offended.
That's it. Okay, so that situation...
And even like...
You're interviewing Samuel L. Jackson, okay, and he plays on it and makes the guy feel uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
If you're interviewing Spike Lee and you're a white reporter and you... Yeah. We're in the same situation. And if you decided to go the other way and actually say
it would go
then that, you'd be like, that's going to spin the news cycle.
It is.
You know, like...
And even like Kanye West and Jay-Z put out the song Niggas in Paris.
You said it You just finally said
it. It has a Z at the end. I feel like it's...
Because it's a song title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Triple J say it and that's like a government-owned
group,
so... So that's okay. The name of the song. even just that. That's probably the first time I've said it.
See, this is the you've just totally hit the nail on the head. Everyone has their limits and their limitations, and a reason that you would say one thing and not another.
Yeah.
You're offended by one thing and not another.
Mm.
The issue is coming when we're trying to enforce it upon everyone, or people are thinking that their outrage is bigger than just them being outraged.
Yeah. I think you've summed it up nicely. The first episode of Scrubs, Zach Braff's character says to his black friend, Donald Faison, you know, when we're listening to hip-hop...
Turk.
When we're listening to hip-hop, there's a common racial slur that comes up, and the N-word, and, you know, if I'm singing along, am I... And he just cuts him off and says, no, you're never allowed to say it. So I've always remembered that, and I've taken Turk's advice. So just...
Turk's law.
Stay away from it.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. Actually, just a final footnote on that, because you mentioned the ABC. When I was reviewing
the Straight Outta Compton
movie, I think I spoke to the presenter beforehand and said, am I allowed to say what NWA stands for? And he said, yeah, that's fine. That's what it stands for. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But then even when we came to that point in the doing the on-air review, we both still kind of went... Okay, this is what the band called themselves and said it, you know, like, this is what it's...
So you had to explain to the audience, don't be offended.
You couldn't just drop it in the middle of a conversation and go, NWA, which stands for Niggas With Attitude.
Yeah.
You couldn't, didn't, because it was like...
The ABC.
Yeah, and it's ABC daytime AM radio, so the listener, I don't know.
It's a different audience.
Yeah.
Did you say the name of their biggest song?
No. I totally just left that out because it did occur to me, you know, like, oh... You know, best known for this song.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it here.
Because
you'll bleep it.
Yeah.
I can't be bothered with you bleeping.
Don't make me bleep.
No.
It's too much editing.
Yeah, f*** that.
I hate you.
All right, that's the end of this podcast.
My mum's going to be disappointed.
I've just mic dropped. I'm out.
I'm not going to bleep. I'm just going to cut it.
Okay. Damn. All right, fair enough.
It was a good moment. Well, thanks for listening. If you'd like to tell us what offends you?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm offended by overly offended
people. That's kind of the gist of this.
Yeah.
It's people expecting everyone to be outraged by, and everyone to be offended by what they're offended by.
Yep. And if you'd like to send your criticisms to us on Twitter, Matt is at Dr. Matt Neal.
Yep.
And I'm at Jono himself.
I don't know what kind of feedback we're going to get, but I'm interested.
Have a super terrific week.